If you have no interest in the sim racing that many series have been putting on during lockdown, then you probably spent the weekend trying to work out what the hell was happening on Twitter. There were just a few controversial moments in the IndyCar iRacing Challenge event at Indianapolis, and some pretty strong reactions ranging from completely livid to it's just a game. I know I only annoyed your ears with a podcast on Saturday, but as fate would have it, I was already due to talk to Lando Norris today, so we thought we'd do a little version of the podcast that's not a podcast, and even get McLaren Racing's senior communications manager Charlotte Sefton involved at one point too. Because, well, why the hell not? Lando, thanks for joining us. You've been in the middle of a bit of a cross-Atlantic storm this weekend. I bet you weren't expecting that to blow up from sim racing.
Not at all, no. I mean, one, it's good for sim racing because it's kind of put it out in the news a lot more. But on the other hand, it's made it look pretty bad in some ways. So, no, I mean, my whole experience of doing Indy was very fun. I enjoyed the whole experience of it, getting to race against a lot of these drivers. Some not so much, but yeah, I think the whole experience of it was very fun. So it gave me a good indication of what it would be like in some ways to go and do it for real.
Right, let's talk Saturday. It blew up over here. I mean, what happened from your perspective?
What do you mean from my perspective? I think it's obvious enough from every video.
But did you know it's coming? Because people can watch streams.
I knew it was coming. I don't know why, because I did absolutely nothing wrong. And yeah, I don't know. It was such an... So I guess this is the short way of saying it. I had such an easy run out of turn one into turn two, with Askew very close behind and in a position where he, if I did lift, he would have got a very nice run down the back straight on me and most likely would have passed me and probably would have then won. So I was in a position where I thought, yeah, I need to try and hold my position. And it wasn't like I had to avoid someone. I mean, Rahal pushed me pretty close next to the pit wall down the start finish straight. And I backed out of that. I didn't stay alongside. I backed out of that. So I didn't take that risk straight away. But I had such an easy run around turn one as they both kind of pushed wide that I was like, all right, I'll just go to the inside. You know, and I was completely alongside and a bit ahead of Rahal into turn two. So everything from my side was fine. And, you know, I didn't push wide into them. I gave them plenty of space. It was such an obvious decision. There was zero risk in what I did. And I guess I hate to say it, but the big talking point from my side is it was a net code. And that's every sim driver's excuse. But the reason Rahal went right was not to avoid me. It was because I'm in England and he's in America and the connection isn't always bang on, especially with my Wi-Fi. So I went through it and, you know, he was a meter away from me. There was plenty of space. And from his side or my side, the computers thought that we've touched a little bit. And that's just bumped him a bit wide, which is... obviously put Pagano into the wall. What I don't understand is how Pagano thought it was my fault straight away for some reason. You see on his stream, he just blames me straight away, which I don't know, obviously gives everyone a very clear idea of I'm the guy that he just wants to blame for no apparent reason. I don't know what I got against him, what he's got against me, I don't know, but he blamed me straight away. So I didn't know that. And I was carrying on with my race and everything was going well. And the decision I made, I back 100% and I would make it again, no matter what. I was in a good position. I was holding onto my lead. Then a couple of lap later, we're two laps to go now. I see Pagano on my Delta, like 8 seconds ahead. I'm like, it's a bit weird. Two laps to go. He's in the wall. You know, why? Maybe he just wants to finish the race. But this was all going through my head while like trying to defend to Askew behind me and holding on to my position. And I could see it, like, the delta coming down. It's like 6 seconds ahead now after the back straight. 5 seconds. Next lap, 4 seconds. I feel something's, like, not right. So I say to my spotter, I kind of feel like I'm going to get screwed over by Pagano here. So I had already in my mind that he was going to do something. We came around the second to last corner. He was getting closer and closer. So I knew he was going to do something. And I come around the last one and he kind of is off the racing line a bit. He's a bit wide. So I think he's going to go to the right. So I hold it down low and stay tight. Then he kind of jinks left, jinks right, jinks left a very little bit. Then he just lets off the throttle and he starts to brake. I'm going, 350 kilometers an hour. He's going like 250. There's very little time or chance for me to react and change my direction. If I went right, I would have been in the wall. If I went left, I couldn't do because, you know, I'm going 360. You can't just turn left and the car magically goes left. Even if I braked, the closing rate of where I was coming at him was way too great. So I couldn't really have avoided it in any way apart from lifting way before the corner and waiting for him to maybe do something dirty. That was that. That was me out of the race. That was me game over. That was the end of our very strong Indy race. The rest is going down in history on Twitter. So, yeah.
I was
going
to say, are you surprised by the reaction? Is that a no?
No, I don't know. I mean, I'm surprised about how big it's become and how many people have commented on it. I guess, you know, it was on TV in America. There's a lot of people streaming it. It was a big race. For someone to just to make that kind of decision and to blame me for the crash before he even knows who caused anything, already kind of starts to tell you something. So I tried speaking to him after, like you said. I don't know. I don't have the most confidence in what he said personally. But I just wanted to speak to him about it because, yeah, I just felt like he would not have come to me about it, and I just wanted to clear it up and ask why he did what he did. You can all go and hear it on Twitter on his stream or something. So he said he was coming to the pits, but I think 99.9% of the Twitter followers and everyone watching my stream and everyone around motorsports can say that he wasn't. So yeah, I don't really need to say too much. I think it's very clear from the outside what his intentions were.
Yeah, it was amazing how much coverage it has got. I know I'm asking you about it now. But before that, obviously, you'd won at COTA. You were running so strongly in that race. I mean, how did you enjoy that IndyCar experience? Did this event taint it for you or did you enjoy it?
I really enjoyed it, especially obviously doing COTA and winning COTA was really nice. And it was cool and it was very competitive and so on. But then Indy was just a different story because it's an oval and you're trying to perfect, you know, turning in and not scrubbing the car and not losing thousands of a second. When I was, 9,000th off of what pole position was. And 9,000th is like going flat out, turning. It's nothing. So that's kind of a cool part of it, is trying to find 9,000th in your driving. Trying to perfect how much track you use on the entry, how you turn into the corner, how you scrub and so on. And it's just very different to what I'm used to. You know, it's not like you brake earlier, you need a brake later. This is all flat out and it's a much different way of driving. Therefore I also really enjoyed it because it was so different compared to what I'm used to. And I'm getting to race a lot of different drivers. I had Jarv in the background doing a lot of the strategy and engineering. Then I had a spotter, which was really cool, which I had in Daytona 24 hour, but an oval spotter talks a lot more than a road course spotter does. It's really nice because, you know, he was a proper spotter, I think, for Andretti. His name was Matt. And it was really cool to kind of experience something like that and give it a bit more of a feeling of what it's like then on the extra racetrack if you were to go and do Indy. Yeah, and it was a cool experience, something very new. So even though it ended the way I did, I was still happy that I did it, and I think everyone was happy that they took part in it. Just that the end result was not what we were hoping for. So.
Yeah. I spoke to Zach actually on the podcast at the weekend, and it was before the Indy race, but after COTA, and I said, had he got his driver lineups in the wrong teams at McLaren? But do you think this has made you more likely to go and have a go at IndyCar, really? Or has it not changed that at all?
No, I mean, I would love to do it, and I'm always up for trying something new and trying something different. And I have been since I started. I've done, you know, a different route to a lot of people. I've done a lot of different categories, you know, starting with Ginetta, I guess, was the first kind of different path that I took to the majority. And doing Formula 3 and Formula Renault and Formula 4 and European Formula 4. And I've done a lot of different cars. And then Mabra as well, getting to drive GT3, DTM. I just find it really cool being able to experience different cars, especially when they got a roof on them. So, I love it. And so I would love to go and do the Daytona 23 hour again after doing that. And just try and do a bit better and not finish 85 laps down or something. I would love to, but obviously I have priorities and things that I have to focus on and things that I would think about in future years. And now obviously all of my focus is on F1. But at the same time, if I get an opportunity to go and race an IndyCar or do Indy 500, I would love to, or any series, basically. I would love to try it and go and do it. So, I don't know if that's going to be this year, 10 years. But it's something I look forward to.
Yeah, I remember that Daytona event. I was there for that 24-hour, and I spent most of the night staring through the garage window watching your car being worked on, because everyone wanted to know how you guys are getting on. So, not quite how we'd seen it going. But anyway, just finally, before I let you go, something that must have been really annoying you, if Saturday didn't, is George, Alex and Charles, because they are stepping all over your turf now. They're on Twitch all the time. They're a sim race.
All right.
Are you annoyed at them?
No, I'm proud. I'm proud of me being the leader of all of it.
Yeah.
That I'm the guy that started it. I'm proud, you know, I was the first, I don't think driver, but first F1 driver, probably. I'm 99% sure. First, you know, I don't want to say it.
Go on, say it.
No, I don't want to say big time driver, because I don't want to use that, but...
A-list celebrity.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to say it without making me sound like some stuck-up kind of guy, but guy with a big following, let's say. Streaming and letting a lot of people into my world, and me playing Sims and playing on games and streaming in the paddock sometimes and so on. So, I was very happy that I was kind of the first guy into it, and yes, they've come in and. Stepped all over my turf and so on, but it's also cool to see that they've also wanted to come and do it. I don't know if they want to do it, but they've also come in and do it, and I think it's also helped me in some ways, because even more people have come into it, and obviously Charles, it's easy to say, but Charles is a lot more famous than I am, and he has a much bigger following than I do, so of course he comes in and there's a lot bigger following from Italy and Monaco and Ferrari fans, which also come into it. So it's not just helping me or anything like that, but it's helping the community of esports and racing and all of that side of things, which it's just cool to see, because I've been a big supporter of it since, you know, the last 3 years or something. So for it to kind of grow so much, it's nice for me to see, but apart from that, we've had a lot of good laughs at the same time between all of us, and we stream sometimes. We're going to be streaming in, I think, this week sometime, racing some freaking lawnmowers or driving trucks around Europe or something. So, I'm very happy with it.
Cool. Well, just to finish off, I'm going to bring Charlotte back in, because people might have heard Charlotte calling you big time, because you are. But I want to know, actually, how much Lando is scaring you, Charlotte, when he's streaming and potentially swearing or crashing into people? Like, do you have to sit at home during lockdown and you're just bricking it while you're watching him do all this?
No, to be fair, his language is not that bad. He's normally quite restrained. I'm not too worried.
I don't swear that much anyway. And when I do, I normally say it in German. So I always say Scheiße. I very rarely swear in English. I don't know why. I feel like I'm not swearing, basically. I don't know. I'm not that bad, am I?
No, you're good most of the time.
Good work. All right. Well, thank you very much for your time, Lando. I'll let you get back to doing whatever you need to do and getting rid of the McLaren hoodie that you don't want to wear.
He loves it.
I love it. I brought this hoodie to McLaren, in fact. First hoodie that McLaren made.
This is
all thanks to me, because I want hoodies and I love hoodies. And I said, can I please wear a hoodie? And here they are, selling.
Trendsetter. So probably big time.
Straight away. I know. That's the kind of impact I have on the team. They make hoodies.
So there you have it. We've learned the full scope of Lando's influence at McLaren and on sim racing, although I'd say we're still not totally sure how angry everyone should be getting about Saturday's shenanigans. If you fancy a longer podcast, check out the episode with Zach Brown from the weekend, or previous ones, including Pierre Gasly and some great characters from F1 in James Moy, Lawrence Barreto and Nate Saunders. They're all available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify and Podbean. Check out all the motorsport news on racer.com. I'm on Twitter @ChrisMedlandF1, and if you didn't enjoy it, don't worry, it's all over now.